morning. Hasn't it been great so far? Ask a young child what they want to be when they grow up, and their answer will be enthusiastic. Ask a teenager about their ambitions, and with a shrug of a shoulder, you might get, don't know. Ask a student coming to the end of their education, and you might get a slightly anxious, I don't know. But ask somebody that's about to be baptized what they want to be, and they know without a shadow of a doubt, they want to be someone who is trusting in Jesus as their Lord. And we've just heard Nick say that, and he's got very wet in the process. But what does it mean? What does that actually mean to be trusting Jesus as our Lord? Well, at one level, it's a description to explain what it means to be a Christian. It's how we describe becoming a Christian. Trusting in Jesus as our Lord says that we have a firm belief in the reliability and the truth of what Jesus says about himself, that he came to bring salvation to the world, that his death on the cross has the ability and the power and the authority to heal a broken relationship with God, that nothing and no one else can restore. But at another level, trusting Jesus as our Lord is about how we put our faith into practice day by day. It's about how we include Jesus in the big decisions and the little decisions of life. It's how we match his priority with our priority. It's how we handle the twists and the turns of life, things that surprise us, things that disappoint us, things that bless us and bring joy to us. So trusting in Jesus as our Lord is both the decision and it's the ongoing visibility or invisibility of our faith. Being a minister brings with it many, many privileges. One is getting wet alongside someone who I think has made the very best decision of their life. Another is spending time with somebody at the end of their life when they made that decision some weeks, some months, some years earlier. The starting point in the Christian life is always exciting. Don't we feel it today? But the choices we make along the way will determine whether we end as excitingly well as we started. Our choices determine whether faith remains as visible as it is on the day that we're baptized, or whether along the journey it becomes less visible. According to the Christian management consultant and author of a book called Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, somebody called Stephen Covey suggests that we start with the end in mind. He says when we take an action, we actually do it twice. The first time is when we imagine doing it, and then when we actually do it. He uses the example of building a house. He says first you visualize the house. You make detailed plans of what that house is going to look like, the layout and the materials you need, and then you start building it. If you didn't actually make the plans first, it's likely you'd make lots of costly mistakes along the way. And so really, the point that this Christian author is making is this: if you visualize an action and its desired consequences, instead of just ploughing on, possibly in the wrong direction, the more likely you are to have success. So if we want to be someone who successfully is trusting Jesus as our Lord for the whole of our life, we need to start with the end in mind. What do we want our lives to look like further down the line. Now, we've just started a new teaching series here, and we're looking at the teachings of King Solomon, who had it all. The Bible says that he was greater in riches and wisdom than any other kings of the earth. He was somebody who had the freedom to explore the meaning of life through learning, through pleasure pursuits, through exercising great power and influence. He enjoyed eating and drinking, sometimes to excess. And I can only assume he liked getting married because he did that over 700 times. But he also liked investing in worthwhile projects like building a temple for God and a palace for himself. He planted vineyards and he established parks. He had reservoirs installed, and that meant he was able to invest in forestry. But in his writings, he says this: I've seen all things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, chasing after the wind. And his conclusion in terms of living a good life is the best advice ever. He says, everything you were taught can be put into a few words: respect and obey God. That is what life is about. God will judge everything we do, even what's done in secret, whether good or bad. So his advice is, remember, you are accountable to God. Start with the end in mind. And Solomon's advice is echoed by another man in the Bible, the Apostle Paul, writing to a church in Corinth, Greece. And he says, cheerfully pleasing God is the main thing. And that's what we aim to do, regardless of our conditions. Sooner or later, we'll all have to face God, regardless of our conditions. We will appear before Christ and take what's coming to us as a result of our actions, either good or bad. He's making the same point as King Solomon. Both men are saying we're accountable to God, so make trusting Jesus as our Lord a lifelong ambition. Place it above all other ambitions or plans or ideas that you might have for your life. Because as Abraham Lincoln allegedly said, in the end, it's not the years in your life that count, it's the life in your years. And so both King Solomon and the Apostle Paul urge us to do life with Jesus, to have Jesus as the life in our years, to have Jesus who shows us the best life, how to navigate tricky seasons, how to use our time fruitfully, how to use our resources wisely, to be in the decisions we make about the work that we do and who we share our life with, to give us peace when we feel anxious and faith when we feel afraid, to give us hope when we feel hopeless and purpose when we feel restless. Just imagine for a moment what that might look like in your current circumstances, and visualize what that could look like in your future. What decisions do we need to take today to bring about what we want our life to look like in some future one? Is there anything more comforting in life than having a strong trust, a strong sense of trust in something and someone? Is there anything more comforting than having complete and utter trust? Can you imagine what your life would look like to have such a sense of security that you always felt safe? Can you imagine what your life could look like to feel such loyalty from someone that you know without a shadow of a doubt, they won't ever harm you or hurt you or let you down. Can you imagine what it would feel like, what your life would look like if you were so unconditionally loved, despite imperfections in your life, that you could be vulnerable and you could be open without ever needing to defend yourself? Can you think of anyone that you can fully trust to do what is expected all the time? In my experience, and I'm quite old, in my experience, there is only one person, and his name is Jesus. People let us down. They don't mean to, but they're only human. They sometimes let us down. And careers can start so well, but actually they don't always deliver. Material wealth will only satisfy in part. And having fun is fantastic. It's fun. But that also fades. So whether we've been a Christian for some time, whether we've been Christian for a very long time, whether we're not yet certain, whether we're here this morning because, as Paul started off by our service, because we want to be here, or whether we're here out of respect for the person that asked us to come along, what do you want to be in life? What are your ambitions? What do you value the most in life? What preoccupies your time and your effort? What's driving you? Where does your security lie? Are you proud of the person you are and the life that you're living? Are you proud of the person you are and the life that you're living? What or who are you trusting in? Are you living today with the end in mind? Today, Jesus invites us quite simply to put our trust in him, to recognize that the relationship that we have with God is a sure and a certain thing. It's a safe and a secure thing. And it is fun. God takes us places that we'd never dream of going under our own steam. God makes us, he creates us to be people that we never thought we could possibly be. God puts us in the path of people that we never dreamed we might meet. God provides community and friendship and a stability that is second to none. Trusting in Jesus is the very best decision we will ever make. And that's a decision that we keep on making day by day. Because that's the only way we will maintain a visibility of our faith. So this morning I want to ask you really simply whether there are changes that you know that you need to make in your life. Because where you are now is not leading to where you want to be. Are there changes you need to make in your life? Is there a new commitment that you need to make to Jesus? You followed him for many years, but you know there's a new commitment you need to make to follow Jesus in a new way, because following him the way you're following him is not going to lead you to that place that you want to be. This morning, do you need to rededicate your life to Jesus because you know you've got that belief, but you've not got the walk that goes alongside that belief? Have you wandered away? do you need to rededicate your life to Jesus? And maybe today you need to give your life to Jesus for the very first time. Because you know, out of what you've seen in the company of the people that you keep, is that the right way round? You know what I'm saying. You know from the people that you share life with, and you know from what you've seen in the life of a young man, and you know what your spirit is saying to you, you know you need to put your life in Jesus' hands for the very first time. We're going to pray, and I'm simply going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and to speak to us this morning. And I'm going to encourage us to make a visible outward sign of something that is going on in the inside. That's actually what baptism is. It's an outward sign of a decision that we've made on the inside. I'm not going to ask you all to jump in the water, don't worry. But I am going to ask you to bow your head so no one else is aware of you and you're not so aware of other people. I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes, to bow your head. And if you want to respond to Jesus today, I'm going to ask you just to simply raise your hand. So I'm going to ask those questions again. Are there changes you need to make in your life? And if you feel that there are, can I just ask you to raise your hand? Thank you. Thank you. Do you sense today that you need to recommit to Jesus in a new way? If you feel the answer is yes, just raise your hand. Thank you. And do you maybe recognise that through the challenge and the cares and the worries of life, you've wandered away and you want to redirect your life to Jesus this morning? If that is you, can I ask you to raise your hand? Thank you. Thank you. And do you want to follow Jesus? Make that decision of giving your life to him for the very first time. If you want to do that, please raise your hand. Thank you. I'm going to pray. Lord, you are good. We have sung this morning of your goodness. And you are faithful, and we have sung this morning of your faithfulness. And you draw us to us. We were reminded as we started our service an hour or so ago that you are closer to us than we sometimes think and feel and even believe. But Jesus, this morning, you are with us. You are with us. Holy Spirit, thank you for being here. And Lord, for each person that has committed to make a change in their life, that has acknowledged before you that things are not what they should be and therefore have repented in their spirit, Lord, be with them as they turn and face a new direction. Give them courage and conviction of the decision that they've made here and now, and strengthen them as they fix their eyes on that end point and make decisions about the steps they take along the way. Lord, for those that have wandered, that somewhere along the line they've feel that they've missed a turning and something has crashed in and led them away from that close and deep and intimate relationship that they once had or they want with you. Jesus, might they know today they have simply, through the decision they've taken, they've stepped back into your way. might they know it is as simple as that. And Lord, now hold them. Remove guilt. Take away shame. Reclothe them with a new sense of passion and energy for their walk with you. And Lord, for those that have given their life to you for the very first time, would you seal what you have done today? Lord, would you seal it with your Holy Spirit? Lord, might they know that no one and nothing can take away the decision that they've made this morning. Might they know that you know them and they are yours. So Jesus, might we leave this place today more confident in you, lighter burdened because of you, excited, ready to see the next steps and seasons in life because of you. And Lord, one day, when they look back on this day, might they be thrilled that they started this day with that end in mind. Amen.